Check it out, man. It's the greatest fucking rock and roll show on the fucking earth, right? You're talking Gene and Paul alive, y'all. I'm talking about the most voluptuous woman hanging out in the audience. I'm talking big breastuses and tight vestuses, my friend. You're talking people passing around joints in the audience. You're talking about fucking Detroit Rock City, brother.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to the Strange Ways podcast. Keep on rocking.
Strange Ways.
Let's stop this pussyfooting around. Right?
All right. Greetings from Jendel. You're listening to the Strange Ways podcast. I'm Andrew Kiss, and I'm here with
Jody Have Not.
And
Nayrock.
Hi, Carly.
D-Rock. Queen of the streets making his appearance known back on the Strange Ways podcast. It's been a minute. What's up, brother? What's up?
I've just been working with getting therapy set up for my prosthetic. I finally tried it on today and got to walk around the room on it, so.
That's pretty great, bro. And, yeah. You know, everyone out there knows that what you've been going through, and we've been getting a lot of cool messages sent your way. And you're doing great, man. We want everyone to know out there that he is doing great.
Yes.
So what are we talking about today, Andrew? We're going to let you run the show. I'm going to sit back and let you do it. All right.
All right. We're talking about Alive, or specifically, the Four Alives.
Right on, right on. One of the greatest collection of live records ever to be put out, I'd have to say, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a legacy of its own, you know, the Alives.
As far as live albums go, you know, they were like the ones that really set the bar for every other band that put out live albums, you know?
Oh, yeah, especially a double Alive. That wasn't heard of at the time.
Right. It was like career suicide.
Yeah, that's what Gene said about that, and so that was crazy. But I guess they were extremely desperate because none of the regular albums were selling, and I guess they wanted to capture their feel of the what the live experience was like, because that's why people came to the shows, for that live experience.
Yeah, it's like people would always come up to him and be like, man, you guys are great live, but when I have these records just don't sound like you guys.
Don't sound anything like it does live.
Right.
Especially like, you know, when you were talking about career suicide, you know, that was more or less the whole setting for the Kiss Alive 4 too, you know, with, yeah. You know, having a symphony behind them and bringing out the child, you know, vocal and everything coming out on Great Expectations.
That was the best part, I thought.
It was, but I mean, it was something that nobody's ever really done before, you know, so that was either this is really gonna be fucking awesome, or this is really gonna bomb real bad and we're gonna fuck ourselves up the ass, you know? And they were able to pull it off, you know, and it ended up being really great, especially when they came out for that second act and did it all acoustic bit.
Yeah, I like that. That's really cool.
I mean, that was the best part.
Yeah. You know, to me though, I mean, with Alive 4 at the time, it was just like, come on, Kiss, you're gonna rip off Metallica 4 years later. You know,
Metallica did that, and I think Pink Floyd did that as well.
Metallica did it really well too, because their music's kind of classical to begin with.
Yeah, the S&M album.
It's just like another, to me, I don't know, I was kind of going through a phase where I was out of Kiss a little bit after the Farewell Tour.
Well, that was just when I was first starting to get into Kiss.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
So it's funny how that works.
Yeah, it's a trip. But it's like, to me, it was like, oh, geez, you know, following the trends again, huh, Kiss? You know what I mean?
I think it was also kind of fitting after, at the end, if you watch it on YouTube, you know, it has the end after the curtain call where they're all walking off backstage and Gene was like, yeah, fuck you, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all that shit.
Yeah, to me, like, I watched it to kind of bone up for this episode, but I didn't buy it at the time, and I didn't see it for a long time afterwards, dude. Like, I just ignored it when it was new, which is strange, being such a Kiss freak. But like I said, I was going through a moment where it was like, I don't know, like Kiss burnout, I guess you'd call it. You know what I mean? It's like after Kiss the overload. Farewell tour, they came back, you know? Like, I honestly thought that the Farewell was it. And it felt that way live, didn't it, D-Rock?
Yeah, it did.
Because when they're like, don't forget us, don't ever forget us, and all this shit. And
then they started doing the God Gave Rock and Roll at the end, everybody's crying.
It was heavy, man. It was a heavy moment. And it felt really real.
Yes.
But, I mean, like Paul said, though, he said, you know, he really thought it was over, too, but then...
You talked to that guy at the car wash. And
right. Yeah, it was in the book. And it's like, why shouldn't we do this? That was really fun, you know, and I had a good time doing it. So he kind of morphed it into it was a farewell to the original dudes, which, you know, it works to keep the band going, I guess. It's a good excuse after a farewell tour to come back. You know, you got to say something.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, because then I get to hear him now.
Right, and
get
see
to hear
him
live. Yeah, and see him. It's for the younger fans as well.
Right, it's great. Whole new generation, you know?
Talking about them having fun and everything, I don't know what your guys thought about this, but out of Alive 1, 2, 3, and 4, when I was watching Alive 3 with Bruce Kulick,
oh, the live, like, from Detroit or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the live and uncut in Detroit. And it's like, it seemed like they had more fun on stage and were acting more like rock stars during that concert than they did when they were in makeup and all the other ones. Because all the other ones, it seems like their movements and the way they act are, like, all scripted out.
Well, they needed to, I guess, because... just a lot of the cues were gone, like a lot of the explosions, and Gene didn't fly or anything, so a lot of that went out.
Plus, they were out of makeup on Alive 3, so they didn't have all this gear, and it's a lot more. It's a lot easier to run around when you're not in heels. You know,
wasn't it like the first time Paul put his legs all, just what first time he did the splits or that jump that his legs almost went over his head because he was so
crazy,
so used
shit,
to wearing
right?
the platforms.
Right. I remember when they were actually in makeup where he did that and split his pants.
Right. Let's get into, like, let's start at the beginning of the Alive legacy. What do you guys think about that? I'll just take it back to Kiss Alive because, you know, it's arguably the most important record in their whole catalog, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it came at a time when, like you were saying earlier, they were basically, it was do or die, you know?
Yeah, they couldn't afford to make another studio album, so they had to make it just Alive because it was cheaper.
Right.
I was going to say, not only that, but for me, I mean, it really set the bar because that's like one of the first ever really rare, like, live albums that were ever made at the time, you know, more or less, you know, such good quality for a live album. Also.
Yeah. It definitely set the bar for all the rest of the records to follow it. You know, Eddie Kramer, he's the man.
Yes.
What else could you say? But, you know, Kiss Alive. It's basically, you're just a collection of the first three albums in a ballsier way, you know? And for
faster
people...
Faster and heavier.
Yeah. It's like, those are mostly the definitive versions of those songs,
well,
I have to say.
Well, usually when you're going to listen to Kiss, you're going to listen to Alive anyway. Like, the studio tracks are great, but for the most part, I just find myself listening to the live tracks. It's a lot better.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yes, you just said, I was going to say, you know, what's great about the way that they... sequenced everything and the way that they recorded it. I mean, not just the fact that they recorded it live and has a great sound, but, you know, you can pretty much close your eyes, you know, and listen to that album and visualize yourself being at the concert.
Right.
You know, 'cause you can hear the crowd, you can hear the people talking next to the mic, you know, like you're standing there in the crowd, you know, and all the booms and all the everything, you know, and it's just like, you know, if you have any type of imagination, you can visualize yourself being at that concert, because, I mean, it was just so descriptive in its own way.
Well, that's lost with kids nowadays. I know it's weird for me to be saying that, because I'm, like, 20, but it's true. Like, now you have the option on YouTube to have all the live footage, so you're just basically, you can watch entire live concerts. And you have access to, like, thousands of these videos. And, like, I admit I watched that too, but I also try to gravitate towards just listening to the live CD because your imagination is the best. You know, like all this other stuff's happening that isn't actually happening on the video, if that makes any sense.
Right. It's like back in 75, dude, all those kids would put on that album, smoke a joint, and just sit there and listen to it and look at the album pictures, you know, and the book.
And try to imagine what it'd be like.
Yeah, because you didn't see Kiss all over. There wasn't YouTube and there wasn't home videos. And, you know, if you saw them on Mike Douglas or the Midnight Special, that was great. But if you didn't, then you didn't, you know, and there wasn't any way to see it. So it's like people would sit there and listen to their records and just visualize the whole concert. I know I did that, and I even had the videos, you know. Yeah. So I think
totally different headspace, I guess, for my generation. That
right, like you were saying, man, it was something. I think it's a lot more pure back in the day because, you know, you really.
Well,
had
it's a lot cooler because, like, as soon as I became a Kiss fan, watching the bonus for Kiss Symphony, I saw Gene and Paul with and Peter without their makeup on, so just right. It killed the illusion right there. But like, if
yeah, they,
like back in the day. Like, you had no idea, really, besides a handful of photos. You had no idea what they looked like.
Right.
And it had, like, it had more of a mystery to it.
Well, and even then, they were growing up before they even went unmasked. You know, if we saw the pictures in a rock magazine or whatever of Kiss getting out of a limo going into the studio, they had bandanas and shit.
Yeah, they looked like a bunch of train robbers.
Right, you know, so we still had to use our imagination because in our era, you know, they didn't even really have portable video cameras or, you know, these iPhones that take videos that you can upload onto the internet. We didn't even have the internet, you know, so our imagination was the key for us, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah, you know, like you guys being born into the, you know, the electronic age of having all that crap, you know.
Yeah.
Right. But see, I always thought it would have been cool to have been to, like, if I was a kid and could have got on YouTube and found Winterland or something, you know, I would have fucking lost it, dude. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome too, but it just, I guess I will never really truly have the same appreciation for it as you guys, because that stuff was so rare.
Right. But I mean, I always just think how cool it must have been to have been a teenager and, you know, in 75, and, you know, there was a mystique to Kiss. You know, we missed it too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're in the same boat as you are, brother.
Yeah.
Someone, you know, that was in there from the very early days, they got to see maybe that Cream magazine, but then it was like, all right, is it them or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Kiss Alive, dude. I mean, let's just kind of talk about the cover real quick. What do you guys think about it?
Ace's guitar, he's holding his guitar kind of weird.
Dude, when I was a kid, I used to think that same thing. I was always like, how the hell, what's going on here? You know,
it's cool, but it's obviously staged, but it's right. Still awesome.
It's like, man, how is he doing that? What the hell's going on?
It's the best photographer in the world. He got that shot while they were moving.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, though, that it's pretty interesting that it was the first album where you actually got to see more than just, you know, you got to see Kiss live, like a picture of them. You know, the first album is just their faces. Hotter Than Hell, great cover. Dressed to Kill, you know, but it's not like a picture of Kiss live.
It's not like an action shot, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I think if they would have had something like that on their first album, they probably would have been bigger right off the bat. Because that's Kiss, you know, you see the whole package rather than just the makeup faces.
Or just have it without Peter's messed up makeup.
Right. I don't know anyone who really digs that original, you know, on the first album, that makeup. That shit sucks,
man. Yeah, the Chinese-looking cat shit.
Yeah. It's too busy. It's just,
Yeah, it definitely looks Asian. Like a,
the whole painted-on goatee and shit.
It's like a little tongue goatee. A little cat tongue. That's what I, you know. Yeah,
what's taking so long? You guys need to go on stage in 5 minutes. Oh, no, Peter needs, 45 more minutes to put on like 20 whiskers.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like how Gene's makeup is on the first album either. But it's not as dramatic as Peter's, you know.
Well, it evolved over the next few
albums
too, and it just got worse.
It really, except, I mean, even Paul's did, you know, but.
Right.
Good thing Paul didn't stick with the Bandit and just went back to the Star Child.
Right. What would we have been? What would people have been calling him now if he had the bandit? Would he just be the bandit?
I guess that.
Watch out for those Smokies. Yeah, that'd be goofy. The demon, the bandit. You know, that's goofy.
Yes.
Oh, that's stupid. All right. Anyways, where were we? Where were we? This is your show, Andrew. Come on, man. Run this shit, dude.
So much pressure.
Right.
I guess when was the first, like, when did you really first hear Alive?
Alive was the third record I ever got by Kiss, starting Dressed to Kill, then I got Unmasked, and then I got Alive.
Really? That was the third for me, too.
Right on, right on. Yeah. What about you, D-Rock?
I'd have to say my eighth grade summer before high school was when I knew Kiss. I had an album or two, but that's when I really started paying attention to them, and me and old Charlie Soult.
Yeah, Charlie.
One day, you know, cruising around, I would just happen to stop in a record store the next day and got it, so.
Yeah, dude, I used to just, once I had that record, I played it relentlessly for about probably a year straight, just continually, man. It was on my turntable and it never left, you know?
I'm sure my record probably has a bunch of groove marks worn into certain songs on it, too.
I got kind of ripped off, though, because this was in the early 80s when I got mine, so it wasn't like an original album, so it didn't come with the damn book on the inside, you know? And that's one of the coolest parts about Alive is that fucking book, wouldn't you guys say?
Personalized messages.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's cool, too, but, you know, the book that came with has a huge picture of each guy, and it's just fucking awesome, dude. I fucking love it. I like that. Of all the extra Kiss shit they ever, like, gave out in records, I'd say that's the coolest one of them all. But that's just my opinion. I don't know.
Plus, it kind of made it seem like they were trying to get more personal with their fans, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, with the notes and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like how Gene's, like, refers to us as victims, you know? It's pretty cool. And it, like, totally fits.
We're gonna kick your ass.
It's just totally, like, fits his, like, persona of the time. You know, he was kind of, he wasn't the, like, you didn't know him like you know him now, where he's, like,
family jewels
and his little fucking onesie and all that.
Actually, what I am is evil incarnate.
Right.
Not to say your audience looks appetite.
I love the Mike Douglas when he first comes out, you know, and he's just, in those days, he was so damn thin and lanky, and he just almost looks like a freaking spider or something, you know? It's just fucking cool, man. It's awesome.
He looked like he was still a teenager compared to what he looks like now.
Right. Yeah, I think that Mike Douglas is awesome. Anyways, it's totally off the subject. Imagine that, right? Anyways, let's get on track. Let's get on track. Let's get on track. What do we got? What do we got, Andrew? Come on, man.
Actually, I found out, I saw this really cool thing. It's called Metal Head to Head.
Yeah,
it's two guitarists. They talk.
I saw that thing today with Ace and dude from Trans-Siberian. Is that what you're gonna talk about?
Yeah,
it was badass.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah,
that,
awesome.
I had no idea about. That's so neat how he cut his, or just like he did a 2x12 instead of a 4x12 Marshall.
Right.
And
he as had, for the monitor, yeah, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. But that makes a lot more sense because you can't really get like proper feedback from the actual monitor. It doesn't work that way, but if
you can, but it's just brutal because
like
there's a hot
proper,
you know, it has a horn in it,
yeah,
so it's sending back super treble and it'll
and
break
it just
your
blow your ear off. Yeah,
it's like a chainsaw in your ear.
That was really cool of just like how he went up to it and then just it caused a bunch of good feedback, I guess, and it sustained his solos. And that's so funny that I saw that video today, because yesterday I was planning on asking you if you knew if Ace boosted his solos live, but I saw this video,
yeah,
and
he said
about the graphic equalizer.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. I don't believe it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
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 That's an old classic trick, man. Surprised you didn't know about that one.
Oh, I did, but I just wasn't sure if he, like, if they did that in the 70s or not, because I know that's 101 now. That or I've been as Tube Screamer or Dimebag used like a rack EQ.
Right.
Just now we're getting a little geeky here. Sorry, folks.
It's turning into Premier Guitar Rig Rundown.
I watch those all the time.
I've watched them all, dude. I've seen them all.
Oh, those are awesome.
It's a great show if you're a gearhead like myself, yeah, or Andrew, or even D-Rock.
Especially the ones with Rebecca Dierks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jay watches that at all.
Oh, yeah. Heavy Metal Jim turned me on to it, dude.
He's the king of guitar tech, man.
Yeah, everything I know I learned from that fucking crazy dude. Heavy Metal Jim. Yeah! Anyways. So, if I had to pick a favorite song on Kiss Alive, let's just pick one song off the record that you think is like... It's really hard to do, ain't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But if I had to just pick one... Like, if I was only going to hear one song from Kiss Alive for the rest of my damn life, what's it going to be? What do you guys got? Let me think for a minute.
I got 100,000 Years.
Why are you picking that one?
Well, it's my favorite one off of the of just Kiss, like the original album. So, and it, to me, it sounds the best. But I might edit out Peter's drum solo. It's not bad, but I can't stand that when someone's on stage for 10 minutes. Like, I'll just like take a piss break or grab a beer, but I absolutely can't stand it. It's just boring as hell for me.
Yeah,
and I'm a guitarist too.
I'm in the same boat, man. It's just boring as fuck. You know, who wants to see some guy just like jerk off for 10 minutes? Not me. Even Ace's solo, you know, I love fucking Ace Frehley. And
well, it's different if there's theatrics involved.
Yeah, I mean, at least
guess.
He has some type of theatrics with the, you know, the flaming pickups, and when he used to, the guitar used to fly away, or you know, shit like that, shooting rockets out of it. But even so, it's just like, come on, dude, we could have heard a couple more songs. All right, so what do you got on your favorite track off Kiss Alive, D-Rock? If I know you, you're gonna say Black Diamond.
I have to go with the classic Black Diamond.
How did I know it? I just knew it.
Because you know me, man. That's my favorite fucking song of all. So,
right.
Of course I'm going to go with that. And plus, I mean, I guess for me it's because that was the first time that I've ever heard a song that was done by two people. You know, with Paul doing the whole intro thing and then Peter Criss taking over with the main part. You know, it's...
Right.
That was the first time I've ever heard, you know, a lead singer switching off to another guy, you know, I mean, besides Gene, but especially a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, really hear Chris tear up into one, you know, besides Getaway and shit, you know, but.
That's a good choice. I mean, to me, that's the definitive version of that one for sure. And, you know, 100,000 Years as well. Both their live versions are, you know, better. For me, it's a toss up between Deuce. Because, dude, it's just so fucking heavy.
It's Deuce.
And, you know, JR's intro. Shout out to JR Smalling for the last episode. But anyways, you know, it's just so fucking heavy. But I also want to...
Oh, that's a good choice, yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards Got to Choose, though, man. Because I just love it on Alive. And it's far superior to the fucking Hotter Than Hell version.
Well, yeah, as you were saying...
Got to Choose really did kick ass live compared to the studio version of it.
Too slow in the studio.
But, yeah. So I think I might just go with Got to Choose, man. But I don't know, dude. It's between that and Deuce. I can't really call it. I'm going for the tie on that one. Sorry, fellas.
Flip a coin.
Right. I don't know. It's a hard choice. Maybe by the end of the episode, I'll make up my damn mind. But anyways, let's get into Kiss Alive 2, man. For my money... Might be the best of the Kiss Alives. I don't know. It's hard to say. What do you guys think? Let's hear some thoughts on Kiss Alive 2.
I think it's pretty epic considering, you know, they just did an Alive album. You know, bands have never done two, more or less four live albums. So this was just like a kick in the balls, you know, in a good way, saying, look, we're doing two of them. And it was just like an awesome follow-up, you know, to the first live album, you know?
Well, they want to just keep going on the, I guess, the train they were going, because Destroyer hit, that was big, and then just Rock and Roll Over and Love Gun, and they're obviously releasing this just to instill their status as the top band, because they saw how, like, what Alive 1 did for them, so Alive 2 just instilled them as being the top rock and roll guys at the time.
Right.
Yeah, it was like their trump card to make sure that they stayed on top, you know.
And it worked for a bit.
Right.
It worked very well for him, you know. I mean, those gambles really paid off for him.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it was time, man. You had the first three albums and then a live album. And then you do three more albums. Time for live too, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's a great time to do it. But, you know, what do you guys think of them doing, you know, the four or the five studio tracks on, you know, side four?
Well, I don't know. I just, to me, it's kind of, I see it as, like, it is filler. I really enjoy Rocket Ride, but I wish they, like, I wish they'd included some songs from Alive. You know what I mean? Like, just to fill it.
Yeah, but they didn't want to have any repeats, you know? They just
To me, I don't really...
It was only 2 years later.
Yeah, I don't really care about... Well, that's just me personally. I wouldn't really care about repeats. I love hearing absolutely every different version of a song. And you can hear it, like, change up a bit during each year. But that's just my opinion on it. I wouldn't mind a repeat. But I can see what they were doing with that. No repeats is kind of cool.
Right.
I agree with Andrew, though. You know, I mean... If they were doing an Alive album, they should have just kept it all alive, you know? They should have saved the other studio shit for another studio album, you know? It doesn't fit with being on a live album, you know?
I feel you there, but... they didn't. Yet,
still trying to get their new songs out, you know, at the same time, you know? So I can see why they did it, you know? But yet, you know, you can't really call it Kiss Alive 2 if... half the songs on the B-side are studio tracks, you know?
Yeah.
Right, but, I mean...
Kind of defeats the purpose of calling it a live album,
you know? Well, that being said, there's also another way to promote it, I guess, or another angle was to advertise new tracks, bonus tracks.
Exactly.
So I guess that's a smart move on their part, just to make it sell even more, to have those bonus tracks, because that's how compilations sell nowadays, really.
Right.
Yeah. So
they'll buy the whole album, just, one brand new song. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's awesome. I love those songs, you know, so I'm into it.
Well, I like Rocket Ride a lot, but that's pretty much it.
You don't like All American Man, bro?
Oh, and All American Man.
Hell yeah. What about Larger Than Life? Come on.
No, sorry.
You're crazy.
I know.
I love that one. No, but it's like they kind of shot themselves in the foot because they didn't want to have any repeats, but at the same time it was killer for us because most of the songs on there, they never really played live, you know what I'm saying? They didn't do stuff like Tomorrow and Tonight and shit that are killer versions on Alive too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we got all these killer supposedly live tracks, you know? Supposedly. I mean, they did it in a studio, just, you know.
I can't talk right now. I'm on the radio.
D-Rock's on the radio. The radio to nowhere.
Old time radio.
Radio for your radio. Cock. Strangers podcast. I don't know.
All right.
And if you're a lady, radio for your twat. Strange Ways podcast. Some strange sounds going on, D-Rock.
Yeah, that usually happens with you.
It's the plate in my head, dude. anyways.
Let's stop this pussyfooting around.
I remember we were talking about the studio songs being put on there.
Oh, yeah. This is, you know, the simple fact that they, you know, they did a bunch of songs that they didn't really do live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them they did, but stuff like Tomorrow and Tonight, I don't think they were doing Hard Luck Woman live, you know, and that's a killer version, I think. What do you guys think?
Much better than the studio.
I think so, too. I think
most Kiss tracks.
Yeah. I actually think if I had to choose the versions of that one, I always go with the double platinum. I don't know, I dig that version, where the drums are kind of not in yet, you know, it's cool.
Yes.
But that's one thing you can say about Peter Criss, you know, just you're feeding off like what Andrew said earlier. No, when they do it live, they never do it the same way twice. And Peter puts more energy and more feeling and emotion into the songs when he's singing them live than he does when he's stuck in a room in a studio. You know.
Then again, his drum sound or his drumming started to deteriorate during the Love Gun tour and the live tour. I guess it was all that cocaine.
Yeah, dude. Peter Criss in '77, brutal. 76, he was still pretty good, but 75, an absolute monster.
A beast.
Yeah, a feline beast.
It's like we're just hearing him going off and showing what he could do to all of a sudden just keeping a basic beat and not really doing anything else, you know, in the songs. It was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to look at, you know, Kiss's style changed a lot, you know. Like, if you look at the shit, you know, before Alive, a lot of times it has, like, a different kind of, like, a groove, like yeah. Watching You does or something. But then a lot of the other ones, all of a sudden they're just straight rock, which just balls a little, like, I Stole Your Love or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't always just say, blame it on Peter, because he does what's required of him in the songs, I think.
Yes.
I'm just saying it's like he kind of slacked off. I'm not putting the blame on him.
Mm-hmm. It's just his drumming deteriorated a bit.
It was like he got stuck in a rut saying, okay, yeah, we're the biggest band in the world now, so I really don't have to try so hard, you know?
Yeah.
He reached a comfort zone, you know?
Right. I can feel that. But let's talk the cover of Alive 2 for a second, man. That's something we haven't touched on. What do you think about that?
It's Alive 2. It says so. Big right on the cover.
I always thought it was goofy to have the whole Alive 2 so large when they could have had all that space for another killer picture, you know?
I think it'd be cool to have another action shot would have been really killer as well.
That's what I'm saying.
Just yeah.
Or even one of those staged action shots, like, you know, from the Love Gun tour, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's like the actual gatefold, I mean, there's nothing really cooler than that. I mean,
they should have made that the cover.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been big like that. Like that's the gatefold. True. The gatefold's kick ass because it's just like the enormity of what you're witnessing.
Or something
like Jesus,
that, or
man.
Something big, I don't know.
Even just, I don't know. I love the four pictures, and I dig it a lot on the back where it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly the picture of Gene. That's like the one. That's that's the picture of Gene Simmons to me. Like, when I think of Gene Simmons, that's it. If I was going to get a tattoo of Gene Simmons, that'd be it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's Gene Simmons. That's fucking Gene Simmons. But it's like, yeah, you could have done anything on the cover would have been cooler than what they did, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I love the big Kiss logo and all that. But, man, the gatefold is like, yeah. You could show that to anybody and go, this is fucking rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? And exactly. There is nothing cooler than that. There just really isn't. I haven't seen any pictures of Kiss that have that much of an impact on me as far as just like going, that's fucking Kiss. You know what I mean?
I liked the Millennium concert, the live album. That was a pretty cool shot, but it wasn't like as good as the Live 2.
Well, Live 2 is the original dudes in their glory days, you know?
That's true.
You can't really beat it. You know, you just can't. I love New Kiss too, but you know, yeah. There's just nothing cooler than fucking the gatefold. It's just there just isn't, man. That's how I feel. But I think Alive 2 to me was like probably a little bit cooler than Alive, because at the time when I got it, I had already had Alive for a while, but to me Alive 2 is like heavier sounding, like the guitars are ballsier.
Yeah, everything's but it's
like
a lot.
Like,
I don't know, it's a lot more dishonest though. It's just like, I know they fixed a lot in Alive, but just with Alive 2, it's pretty much studio tracks with just clapping on it as well. Like,
right,
they just fixed so much on it that I don't know. I don't really like, I see it because it's Alive 2, but at the same time, when you're listening, I still feel like I'm listening to just a studio album.
Yeah, I mean, I can feel you, and I think that's kind of like what we were talking about before. You came in the age where you already knew all this shit about it. To me, when I heard it, I didn't know anything about that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I just heard it as, man, this is Kiss Live. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, they sound good live, you know?
Well, I would have been in the same boat, too, but it's a curse with knowing all this info nowadays.
Right, it's like the internet killed a mystique, kind of.
Yeah, now it kills a lot, too.
Obviously, you know, nothing's going to be the same as it was then, but without the internet and all that, you probably wouldn't have known. Like, we wouldn't. I don't even think I knew that Kiss, you know, did all that shit to the original Live until maybe 10 years ago, you know, when they did
that. Was a very interesting documentary, though.
Right, on VH1?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I hated Fred Durst. How they had Fred fucking Douche on there. I hate that guy.
An asshole.
Yeah, it's like Gene always just tries to, whoever's in vogue at the moment, Gene includes them to try to get some kind of cred. It's like, dude, no one cool liked Limp Bizkit. I hate to inform you, but no one cool liked Limp Bizkit.
Man, they are serious.
That whole new metal scene.
So gay, dude.
Fred Durst should have changed his name to Fred Douche. Dickhead, man. That whole mix and rap with rock crap just really pisses me off. Doing the whole bullshit where you're playing Metallica music in the background to rapping about yo-yo bitches and all this other shit. Fuck you! Suck a fart out of my ass. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Jesus, D-Rock.
Nothing pisses me off more, man. Yeah, can't but help.
Dig this, though. All of those dudes, you know where they got it from? All hell's breaking loose off Lick It Up. Paul Stanley invented that shit.
What, are you talking about where he was going off on his little rap tangent?
Yeah, dude, a street hustler came up to me one day.
Man, you know, he wasn't pulling no MC Hammer, Two Life Crew shit. He was just doing his own little thing. You know, that wasn't rap and rock. That wasn't anywhere near rap.
Hey, can you guys cover that song? I want to hear Clinton do that rap part.
Dude, we're having a hard time even getting Clinton in the studio. He's busy lately, bro.
Yeah.
But when it comes to rapping, even though I hate it, they're probably going to have me fucking do that.
D-Rock is the king of rap.
Even though I hate it. On one of the episodes, you can hear me doing my little Pimp Daddy rap.
Yeah. Pimp rap. That's where it's at.
Started off as a joke, but Jody wanted to put music to it, so.
Yeah, we should put that on sometime. Anyways, Kiss Alive 2, man. It came with a killer book, came with some tattoos, came with a bunch of cool shit, you know? What do you guys think about that stuff?
As soon as I saw those tattoos, I put all of them on.
right on.
The day of.
I didn't get all those cool inserts with mine. You were the one that gave me my version of the Kiss Alive 2.
right on. Yeah, you know, my first copy of Alive 2 didn't have the inserts, but then that's one of the cool things about being a Kiss collector or a fan or a collector is you can go in the record stores and find the old shit and look for the ones with the inserts and shit. Mm-hmm. That's killer when you find them. And when I was a kid, man, we were getting them $4 a pop at Main Street Records, you know. One thing I was going to talk about, too, was the drummer for my first band, dude. He had a couple. He wasn't a big Kiss fan or anything. But he had albums, you know, that were just in this.
Joe Roy.
Yeah, Joe Roy. Joseph Roy. And what a weird name. It sounds like Joe Roy.
Like Leroy?
No, one name. Joe Roy. And like Joe Roy Smith or something, you know. But his last name is Roy and his first name's Joe. Anyways, that's beside the point. Anyways, I was looking through his albums one day, and he had a couple Kiss records, and of course, I want to see what he's got, if they're original, if he's got the inserts, this, that, and the other. So I'm, you know, just paging through this crate, and he has Kiss Alive 2, and I open it up just to see if he had the inserts or the tattoos or anything, and he didn't, they weren't in there. But I look on the back, dude, and it had, like, Hooligan and Take Me listed, and I'm like, what?
Whoa.
The fuck? And I was so stupid, dude, because I made such a big deal. He probably would have, like, either given it to me or sold it to me for $5 had I not been like, oh, my God, dude, you got the fucking what? I, like, totally wigged out and, like, made such a big deal of it that he's like, no, I better keep this one.
Oh.
It's like, fuck. He probably still has it, man. And I've never seen one to this day, man, like, available for me to get. You know what I'm saying? But that's just so cool that he just... He just had one of those misprints. It's cool.
Yes.
But yeah, I fucked myself out of that one. But I'd say Kiss Alive 2, man. I could specifically remember, like, walking around, and D-Rock might appreciate this. Me and this dude, Chris Connor, used to walk around in this town just fucking blasting Kiss Alive 2, the cassette. You know, the Polygram cassette, where it's like, all those tapes back in the day had this shitty brown fucking cover, like the plastic part, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you'd always have to find one of your other tapes that had a black one and, like, switch them out and shit just to make the Kiss ones look cool, because that brown sucked, dude. Even on, like, Kiss Asylum, it's all colorful. And then like the little case is some shit brown. It's kind of weird and kind of stupid that it mattered to me, but it really did at the time. Anyways, I could totally remember we'd just walk around in like 6th, 7th grade blasting Kiss Alive 2, and it was every bit as heavy as like anything that was out at the time, and at the time it's like Poison and all this shit was happening, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, man. Kiss Alive 2 is one of the ones for me. I think it's probably my favorite of the four. And if we had to go favorite song, let's do that for this album. What do you guys think about that?
I Stole Your Love, for me. That would be my favorite.
Oh, fuck yeah, that's killer.
Yeah.
How about we do it like this for Kiss Alive 2? We'll do a favorite of the live tracks and then a favorite off the, the studio ones.
Okay.
Anyway, so you got I Stole Your Love. What do you got, yeah. D-Rock?
I'd have to agree with Andrew with Stole Your Love, man.
Like, they should do that as an opener for this tour coming up, because you said this on a previous episode, I think, that it's just in a lower register for him to sing, so it'd be easier.
You know what, though? After I had made that comment, I was listening to I Stole Your Love, and I was thinking about it, and dude, it's not, man. He's fucking railing on that song.
That's true. Well,
when you think about it.
I think you can make it work. I think it'd just be really awesome to, like, I really liked how they opened with the Psycho Circus on the Monster Tour.
That's all right.
I thought
that
was really awesome. Well, that's one of my favorite, that's in my top 10 favorite Kiss songs, to be honest. And
is
that
it?
Yeah, I know it sounds weird for me to
strange,
make, but
strange.
I don't know, I really dig it, though.
Oh, yeah, it's you know, there's nothing wrong with that either, man, at all.
Gotta look at it this way too, Jody. I said Andrew is a young pup compared to us. He's 20 years younger than we are.
Right. Yeah, I can remember being, you know, a young man when Psycho Circus was new and frying on acid and watching them on Mad TV. And you were probably what at that time, Andrew?
Yeah, but he's trying to play the guitar with some little fucking monkey climbing around on him and shit.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I do. I remember seeing a
must have been 5 or 6.
Wow.
It was like carnival behind them, you know, and Ace had like this little bitty like spider monkey or whatever, like sitting on his shoulder while he was ripping out on one of the songs, and it kept climbing around on him and shit.
Really? I have to go back and watch that. I don't remember that at all. The part that wigged me out was the Michael Jackson stuff.
Yeah, that was odd.
What'd you say, D-Rock?
I said I don't remember if it was on the Mad TV show of them doing it or not, but I remember seeing the footage somewhere where they were playing, you know, off the Psycho Circus, and, you know, they all had, like, circus actors and shit, like, walking around on the stage.
Like an organ grinder with a monkey or something?
Yeah, but one of the little monkeys was actually jumped up and was, like, sitting on Ace's shoulder and shit while he was trying to play the guitar.
Oh, right.
I didn't mess him up or nothing, but he just kind of looked like, what the fuck?
Okay, so my favorite song on Kiss Alive 2, on the live side of things, man, I Stole Your Love is fucking great, but I really like, the version of Ladies' Room, man. That's a killer version. Yeah. To me, that's the version of Ladies' Room. That's the definitive version. Pretty sure Dez is on the same page as me on that one. So shout out to you, Dez. But, I'm going to go with Ladies' Room, dude. Kicks ass. Yes.
Excellent.
So as far as the studio tracks, you're going with Rocket Ride, huh, Andrew?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
What do you got, D-Rock? All-American Man, Rocket Ride, Larger Than Life, Any Way You Want It.
Have to go with All American Man.
Yeah, I think it's between those
second
two.
Yeah,
it's when I first heard that song. I mean, that is just such a cool fucking riff, you know. And
yeah, it's killer. You guys hear that? There's a fire truck on my street or something.
Get the fire, house.
Holy smokes. Oh my god, it's my house! Ah! I thought I smelled something, dude! Oh, shit.
Now all we need is the intro for Firehouse.
Yeah.
God, I hate that song. Sorry.
It's one of my least favorites as well.
That's weird. Just, I don't know. I said some guy on the Kiss group, like, he posted something asking what your least favorite song was. I said Firehouse, and the shitstorm that followed. Oh my God.
Jeez. It's like, I don't know. It's one of the corniest ones.
It's like, how can you hate Firehouse? I don't know, because the demo's all right, but I think I've heard it so many times that I just can't stand it anymore.
It really sucks just when they start playing it too fast. Like, it's not so bad on Alive because it has like a groove still.
Yeah.
But once you get past 75, Peter's playing. They're playing it way too fast. It just sucks balls.
Yes.
And you know, like you said, man, you heard it a lot. I'm with you, man. I don't really have anything. I don't really care for that song.
Hated songs by Kiss. I would have to say Rock and Roll All Night.
Oh, well, that too. But
well, everyone's sick of that one.
Totally sick of the song. I mean, even though it's the rock and roll anthem, self-proclaimed.
I don't care.
Still, you know, it's a song that not only them, but anybody that likes Kiss, that plays as a DJ or whatever, play the fuck out of that song.
Ugh.
It just literally almost makes me sick the most time I hear it.
That and the studio version for I Was Made for Loving You, because whenever they have a TV appearance, that's always in the background. It just drives me crazy that they can't pick another song. Love Gun, it's almost just as popular. You can't play Love Gun.
They want to show like Kiss at their weakest, bro.
They did do a great job of that song with the symphony behind them, though.
Oh, yeah, and I love any live version of that, but with the studio of I Was Made for Loving You, like, if I ever listen to that, I keep thinking that it's E.T. Canada is about to come on. They're having an interview with Paul Stanley. That's how much I've heard that before.
One thing that really irked my chain about that song, too, is, but I can't believe that Faster Pussycat did a remake of that song and completely butchered the fuck out of it.
Yeah, they did. This is like way after their prime. They did some cover, and it's like,
but no, have you seen that video of Faster Pussycat? Like, it was a couple months ago, and the bass player just, like, he's about to play, and he just passed out.
Nah, man, I don't pay attention to that shit.
Oh, it's kind of funny, he just landed on the drum riser, but, jeez. Oh, well.
Those guys, like, somewhere in the mid-90s decided that they needed to copy Marilyn Manson and all that shit, and they've sucked ever since, in my mind.
When we went to go see him at that one show with that Poison Cinderella thing.
And that wasn't me. That had to be you and JT or something.
Yeah, well, I thought you were there too, but we went to go see Cinderella and Poison, and they had Winger and Faster Pussycat opened up, and we get there, and they're all wearing black. They all dyed their hair black, and they were doing some, trying to be heavy, doing some version of These Boots Were Made for Walking, and they just sucked ass.
Dude, they should have hung it up after their first album. Maybe after their second.
I'd say after their second, you know, but yeah. As far as trying to redo that song, You're So Vain, I'm like, okay, now you're really fucking hurting. Give it a...
Where were we? Oh, speaking of heavy versions, we can go into the Alive 3. How are we going to get into Alive 3?
What comes after 2?
Three.
I really enjoyed watching them play live on Alive 3. I thought it was the energy was just awesome that they had on stage, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The sound is good.
With Creatures, awesome.
Yeah, that's the best thing about it.
Kicked ass live.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite songs off that show.
Oh, Creatures?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Rocks, dude. My whole trip with Alive 3, though, is like
way too produced.
Yeah, well, and it came at they should have came sooner, I think, you know?
Well, that's what most Kiss fans say, and I agree with them. Like, I would have loved an Eric Carr, like, Alive 3, like, Haunt the Shade, because that's when they brought all those classic songs back.
Right. Or even if they... I think they should have done it, like, what if they would have won every 3 albums still? So it's like, after Alive 2, then you can't really count the solos and double platinum, but you got, what do you got? You got Dynasty Unmasked and The Elder.
So Alive 3, The Elder, Alive
3. Well, maybe not with that formula. Maybe if they...
Alive Lick It Up, because, sorry, not like just skip past Creatures and go to Lick It Up, because like, it'd be cool to have another Alive makeup album, but that's something new to add to just the excitement of them taking off the makeup and a new Alive.
Yeah, but fuck having Vinnie Vincent making all that noise on Alive 3, though.
That's true. That wouldn't fly.
I think they could have done it at the time, like that, you know, the Animalize Live thing that we always fucking talk about
all the time. Oh, that would have been awesome, too.
That would have been a great Kiss Alive 3, you know? I think it would have been better than what we got. I just never, ever, ever, ever listened to Alive 3. I just don't listen to it ever. And even when it came out, I listened to it, like, you know, here and there a couple times.
We listened to it in my car that one time, you know, and because I remember we opened it up and it had the whole, you know, like, what was it, that like tree branch thing, you know, of like the history of all the members in the band, you know, like went through how, you know, Eric Singer played with Black Sabbath and Rainbow and all that.
I don't even remember that, dude.
Honestly. Yeah, like on the inside of the tape thing, you folded it out and it had like a branch breakdown of all the band history of all the bands that each member had been in and shit. Wow. You know?
I totally forgot. I don't remember that at all. But like I said, man, that album just kind of came and went for me.
I've maybe listened to it 6 times in my entire life.
I really, yeah, you know, boning up for this thing, I listened to it again. And when it first comes on, dude, that creature is fucking rocks. Mm-hmm. It, like, totally kicks ass, but, you know, a couple songs into it, you're like, eh, you know? I just kind of,
just skip to I Still Love You or something like that.
Right, right.
Oh, and it was all a great album. It started off good and hard, you know, but then they started playing all that crap like Domino and I Just Want to Fuck, you know? I'm like, oh, come on.
Really? Yeah, see, for me, that's part of it. Kiss Alive 3 was, I was kind of turned off by, you know, Revenge just wasn't the album for me.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I always regarded that as one of my favorites, but now when people keep saying, like, just, it's really starting to kick in that maybe it was just the image that I really liked so much, because a lot of those songs I just really aren't very good, but it will piss quite a few people off, but fuck it, I love I Just Wanna.
That's my
favorite song, and pretty much everyone hates that for some reason. I love it, but I don't understand. I just think it's awesome, except for that breakdown bit.
Breakdown bit is absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I like the Revenge album, you know. And I can see where, for you, being younger, you know, it was the image thing, because they were going from the whole flamboyant makeup thing to looking like their metalheads, were dressed in black with black leather pants and the black fingernails and the scruffy faces, you know. But
that's true, but I wasn't around to see that transition. I think I'd be born 2 years after that.
Right.
For me, though, I think the reason I liked it was because it had a lot of the song, more of the songs were wrote by Gene. You could tell because they had those cheesy-ass fucking lyrics.
Well, I love the Vinny co-writes, the Vinny Vincent co-writes.
Right, like Unholy.
As weird as he is, man, he writes a hell of a tune.
Yeah, he's got some killer chops. There's nothing wrong with Vinny. I'm not a Vinny hater.
No.
I'm not in the ilk or whatever the fuck it's called. I don't do that. I just don't do it. I don't hate on anybody. You know, I just, you know, it's stupid. But anyways, you know, for me, Revenge, I liked it a little bit at the time, but I don't like when Kiss is, you know, following the trends. And yeah. I don't like that Paul, to me, there isn't, you know, there's not really a good Paul song on the record that I can think of. Besides, you know, if you want to go with the one that you said.
Yeah, well.
But I don't even like that one.
Yeah, most people were on the same page as you are, but for some reason I really like it.
And it's totally the look, dude. It's the exact opposite for Asylum, I think.
Yeah. Unholy, Asylum, though, just kicks ass, so.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Unholy, but
Unholy rocked ass. That's got to be my all-time favorite off the Revenge album.
Yeah, because you can't think of any of the other ones, and no one can. Fuck that shit.
Think of a bunch of
it. Yeah, me too, but I'm just making jokes, man. Just joking, bro.
Chrome.
What?
What was that? Chrome or whatever it was?
Hard of Chrome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I didn't like the album a lot at the time, but it's just like,
I'm liking it a lot less than I used to now.
It's very dated, you know? They were trying to
exactly. It sounds like
be this thing that they weren't. You know, I hate when Kiss does that.
They were stretching to try to grasp onto an image, you know, that wasn't theirs, you know, in the first place, you know, trying to stay in mainstream or whatever.
They were trying to be Slayer and Metallica. Let's just say it.
Watered down Megadeth to me. That's what it sounds like. It's extremely watered down, just thrash. And it's not thrash. Like, I could see taking some influences, but if you try to go in that direction when you're not really known for that, and just it doesn't sound right.
Right.
Just sounds like you're trying to write a song versus writing a song, if that makes any sense.
Right, it's like you're just trying to copy something, and it's not really you, so you can tell when it's not coming from the heart, bro.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Revenge, to me, just isn't, you know, and I'm a Paul Stanley guy, you know, so there's no real Paul songs on there for me, so, But I won't say that at the time I didn't buy Revenge the day it came out and rock it like it there was no tomorrow. But it's just one of those ones that came and went. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. It's just, I get tired of all the accolades for that one. It's like, why don't you check out Dress to Kill, dude?
Yeah.
Rock and roll over, come on.
Hotter than hell.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
You know, I even, you know, I like Asylum better than I like Revenge. I like Animalize better than Revenge. You know.
Well, they are better albums than Revenge.
You know, and Asylum suffers from the exact opposite of Revenge. It's like everyone hates it because they look so goofy, you know?
Yes.
Well, if you just listen to it, it's still heavy. It's still
rocks,
awesome.
Dude. Yeah. Totally rocks. And the Paul songs are super strong. We're going to have to do an Asylum episode pretty soon, man, and sing the praises of Asylum and try to change people's minds, you know? All right, Strange Ways listeners. Hey, check it out. This episode went long, so we had to divide it in two. So if you're listening to it, you need to stop right now and go download part two. They're both up because I uploaded them at the same time. So go get it. Go get it. Go get it right now.
Sco, sco, sco. Skip there.
Yeah, man. Talk about... Dang old boo, man. I mean, dang old dang-dee-doo-dang-dee-don't, man. That old Steve Hutt put that whipped cream on that plastic wrap.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
Oh, oh, oh.